Hello everyone, it's another week and we are back with another episode on the Melanin Wave podcast. And if you still don't know us, mumekuwa wapi? Anyway, my name is Remy.
Monica.
And Jane. Melanin juu chini hakuna bleaching. Black is beautiful, you're not teaching.
Girls are thinking, ni makin true na makuin. So yeah, we are back. As always, every Tuesday, bringing you a new episode, yep. And you can also connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at Melanin Wave Podcast.
And send us an email.
Yeah, you can send us an email. Okay, what's our email address? Wavemelanin.
Yeah.
Wavemelanin@gmail.com. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. You can also send us voice emails. Notes.
You don't.
Okay, my personal email.
Actually, she doesn't do what?
Read emails.
I'm asking who sends in neon emails?
Messages. See, people do, old people, I guess.
Guy.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Maybe anyway, not at the old, old.
Connecting
but
us.
Anyway, you yeah, why not? You can send an email.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
maybe for some reason, if you know your phone is not working,
or you have a business proposal,
exactly. And then that we're going to put that email to Jane directly. She's the one who handles our business. And in today's episode, by the way, you guys, in today's episode, who has sponsored us?
No one.
No one.
Who?
Yes.
And we are calling on Nordea Bank, also Spanky, Aspanky. We are calling all of them. Please, all Punkies, come and sponsor, especially this episode or the next one.
By the way, they should sponsor.
Jim, but now we can't ask them to sponsor us and the episode is
they
already out.
They can sponsor it even when it's out.
Yeah, they can sponsor it
we can
when
do
it's
even
out.
Season two.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, speaking
someone out there who wants to sponsor us. Yes.
Speaking of banks and sponsoring and all that. Yeah, I guess this is what we're going to be talking about today. Money.
Straight into it.
Money.
Kuna salamu.
Kuna salamu.
So we are all fine. We are here, we are fine, we are happy, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay. Anybody having issues?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
Nisawa. Okay, me ada. Okay, but let's just go last later.
Okay.
Now,
don't forget about it, Remy.
Write it down.
I'll try not to. I wouldn't andika.
A couple of, I think a year ago actually, I was in a course somewhere. And then, you know, the ice-breaking thing, which I don't like. Introduce yourself. Tell us something about yourself. So now, there was a question of what is your wow factor? Like, what is it that... Your X factor, not wow factor. Your X factor. What is it that you want to tell the people? And I mean, these are strangers that you don't know. You're now in one course. What is it that you would want them to know about you that would go like they will make them go like wow? And of course, people went on and on about I play the violin, I do yoga, I what else? You know, all these things that I mean from the outside you can't tell, you know. And when it got to my turn, I said I love money, and I constantly think about money. And this guy was like, what? I have never had anyone openly saying that, that they love money and they constantly think about money.
Yeah.
And I got thinking, why is it that people don't say that they love money? What is the shyness about, you know, talking about money and being bold enough to say that you love money and you want more money and you think about money and money is amazing. Money.
Teacher. Mimi, let me take this one. Head on. Once first and foremost, I'm a woman, if you had not noticed. So, if a woman says they love money, you're branded as a gold digger.
True.
So, why would any woman like, you know, like, you don't want people to brand you as a gold digger. So you can't say you love money. So you just assume, you know, me, money does not matter. I don't like money. But I think that's the number one. And I think, I don't know. Me, I don't know about other people, but me, I'm speaking for myself. So maybe Remy can tell us.
Yeah, there's a thing about, like, if you openly talk about, like, you love money and you're thinking about it, it's, I don't know, there's a negative in society aspect to it. You're, like, kind of seen as, I don't know, greedy or... I don't know. I think, you know, that thing as with money is the root of all evil. And I think there are so many people who are wealthy or rich who have not acquired their money
legally, legitimately,
ethically, or legally, or legitimately, I think is the word. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, there's, I love money. I personally love money. And I see opportunities of making money. And I mean, this is not something that has been in me all my life. It's just something that has come out now in my adulthood. I don't think of, how can I say? When I think of making money, it's the things that I see around me. How can I work with them to give me money? Okay. It's not necessarily about getting money from, how can I use Remy to get money? Or how can I get money from money? You know, it's not like that. It's about how I can make this money and how I can have more money. And yeah, and what money means to me. I mean, yeah. What does money mean to you guys?
Wait, before we go on, do you guys think men also go through the same?
Like, I was going to ask the same.
Do you feel they feel that they can't openly come out and say that they love money?
Men can do that any day, any time. They actually sit around a table and discuss how to make money. And there's nothing wrong with that. But as soon as women sit together and start thinking of how to make money, they are deemed as, you know, not necessarily gold diggers, but greedy. They are, you know...
Like, they can't think about anything else. Too they're aggressive. More important. They're more important things that women need to be discussing. But
exactly.
Not
like other women.
Yes.
Or if they discuss money, it should be secret.
Yeah.
Like, it should not be out in the open.
Or if they discuss money, then they should be discussing about their husband's money.
Chama.
You get? Like... You know, or this, like you said, that those, the chamas now, the secret money that nobody knows that you're contributing. Because again, there's the stereotype of the man is the head of the home, and because he's the head of the home, he's the one who does all the financial things. Yeah.
Provides.
True.
Yeah.
Back to your question, Jane. What had you asked?
What does money mean to you? Money.
Money.
And has your thought about money now been always the way it is, or how has it changed over time?
I think I can go first. I think money, what money means to me, it gives you, I don't know, it brings financial freedom. I don't know, money freedom, you know, there's, everything needs money. Without money, you're not going to be able to eat, you won't be able to afford healthcare, you won't be able to afford so many things. So money is everything. It won't buy you happiness, but it will buy you the things that are going to bring you happiness. You see? And over the years, my thought about money has changed. If you asked me this a few years ago, I'd be like, money is not, money is not everything. It has changed. Money is everything. Like, at this particular point, like, I'm thinking, hey, no, you need everything for money. You can't live a comfortable life without money. You know, if you want to buy a house, you need money. If you want to do ABC, you need money. So, what are you talking about? Money matters.
True.
Very true. Well, for me, I guess before, Yeah, well, it's only been, I mean, you need money to live life in this. I mean, everything, food, everything costs money. But I think from before, what I'd not understood, or what I thought, it's like, I have to work, I work, or you do something and you get money back. But now what I'm all have come to learn is that the money can work for itself and bring
more
and double itself or increase itself in value, you get. Or like you don't have to physically, I don't know work. What you get. I mean, like you can have different ways of getting money. Yeah. I think that's the thing.
What is it called?
Yeah,
is
income.
It passive income.
Yeah, not just.
Yeah.
Yeah, passive income. Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's the ways of getting money that have changed for me. Yeah.
True. Same here.
Yeah.
I never knew that you can. There's anything about passive income or like, you know, money can. Whatever you've just said, Remy.
And also not accepting that money is good. And I think, you know what, Monica, you said money can't buy you happiness. I think at the end of it buys you happiness.
It buys you the things that bring you happiness. Yes, and that is what I never understood.
Yeah.
You know, like when people I don't understand when they say that money does not bring you happiness. Yes, it's not going to fizzy at now you have money at you're happy. No,
you're happy.
It's
no,
going
no.
to get you the things that are going to make you happy.
Mm.
You know, you're going to be able to afford that holiday.
Make your life easier.
It's going to make your work easier. Exactly. You're going to be able to buy, I don't know, things for your kids. You know, has changed for me.
I think for me, it's the understanding that money gives me options. You know, if I have money, I have options. The more money I have, the better options I get.
The more options you have,
You know, I mean, and it's a reality. If I want to go on holiday and I don't have a lot of money, then what happens? I'll go for a cheaper holiday or I won't go for one at all. The more money I have, the more options I get. I can choose where I want to go. I can freely. And I think one thing that has become part and parcel of me, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, is this anxiety that you get when you don't have enough money. You know, like you're always feeling like, oh my God, what if my car breaks down today? Like I'm going to die or something. You know, like I hate that feeling. And I don't know. I think for me, it comes from a place of growing up, I didn't understand how hard it was to make money. I didn't understand how actually the value of money, so to speak. And then I come here and I'm all by myself and things happen. You know, you're going to school, your shoe just gets torn and you need to buy a new pair of shoes. Like you need to have that money, like constantly, you know, you need to have savings. You need to have a budget, and this budget needs to have an extension of emergency things, you know, like these are things that I never learned as a child. I mean, I thought that money is there to be spent. You know, you get money, you spend it immediately. But now I know things differently. Like money is not necessarily there to be spent. It's supposed to be kept. It's supposed to be invested. It's supposed to, you know, of course, to be used also, but to be used in a smart way. Right?
Yes.
So yeah, my ideas about money have changed. But what money to me means to me, money is equals to options. And for that, I would want to have even more money so that I can have more options.
More options.
And honestly,
true.
In the wise words of Shorn Arwa, if you are on TikTok, you know who she is. If you're not, sorry.
Hello?
She once said, or she keeps on saying.
Are you saying that we are looking at you?
There's no shame in being a woman who loves money. There is shame in being a woman who does not love money. Or man, for this matter. So it's okay to love money. It's okay to like money. Because at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, you'll need that money. So me, I'm not understanding what these people are saying. Money is the root of all evil. But I mean, still necessary.
I think the problem is if you're caught in the loophole of just chasing yeah. money and you forget to leave, you know, and you forget all everything else doesn't matter, then you're just focused on the money and you need more and you need more. Of course, everything is always a balance. True. You know,
it's finding that balance.
It's
very true. But then I'm even thinking, like, say for example, we have like what I've seen with these influencers and influencers in Kenya, which I love, and I'm thinking, like, when will I get there? Like, somebody wants to go for holiday.
You're an influencer.
Yeah, by the way, hey people, I need to go to Greece.
Me too.
In December. So now, we can sponsor what Trivago, if you're listening.
Hey, wait. Sponsor the Melanin Week
podcast. Yes. We go pre-recording this.
You know, like, I love how they think, you know, I want to go on holiday. I sponsor, or this company sponsors me. They pay for my holiday. You know, still, that money is working for them. Right? They're going for a free holiday or a half-paid holiday and blah, blah, blah. And while they're there, they're going to be drinking something and sponsoring it. So they're getting these drinks for free and blah. I'm thinking, brilliant. That's how people should be living their lives. Like, everything that you do, think, is there a way I can get some money out of this? You know, we are doing this podcast. I mean, I enjoy doing this, but if I can make money out of this, then why the heck not?
Why not?
You know, like, there's so many things I love doing, but if I can make a coin out of that, I go for it. You know, I go for it. And for me, I wish I was, and I'm getting there. I think I'm also growing into becoming bolder, you know, into not just thinking of how to make money, because you think, but you don't have the boldness to go for it. I'm getting bolder by the day, and I'm loving this, you know, this growth process. Like, yeah. And also, as an adult, like, I think I became an adult 5 years ago, I realized there's so much money in this world. There's so much money, my God. There's so much money that is just waiting to fall into your hands. All you have to do is figure out how to make this money.
It's usually not easy, but I mean, if you figure out how to do it, then why not? You know, it's not easy, kwa sababu you might have an idea, just like you said, Jane. You have an idea of how you're going to make money, but actualizing the idea, that's where the problem gets
in. And that's where the boldness comes from, Moni.
Yeah.
You know, like, you see something and you think, okay, fine, this can be done this and this and this way. I'll try it. I'll give it a try. Because most of us, we just think, we have brilliant minds who constantly see how things can work, but they don't do anything about it. You know, you see a problem, and Remy, I think you've mentioned this many times. You see a problem, you have a solution, but you sit down with that solution, or you see a problem and you don't want to think about what the solution can be. And you see, these are loopholes.
You're waiting for someone else to do that solution for you. Kwani,
why can't someone figure out how to do, you know, ABC?
And maybe you even have the idea of how to do ABC, but you're not bold enough. And I think that is what I am becoming now. Like, bold enough to go for things. Like, to say, you know what? I can do this. Another thought came to my mind. The other day, I was I was having a conversation. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine.
I'm saying it's a monologue.
With a friend of mine, and I was telling her how, like, I'm so scared of this. I'm so scared of resigning because of this and this. I'm so scared of blah, blah, blah. And she told me, Jane, when you came to Finland, what did you have with you? And I thought, what is she talking about? You know, like, really, what is she all about? Yeah, I don't know. said, yeah, what did you bring with you from Kenya? I said, a suitcase and clothes. Then she told me, if everything is taken away from you and you're given that suitcase and the clothes that you came with, you have the capability of moving forward even faster. It will be faster to get to where you are today than it was from the day you came here to this day, right? Because I have the tools, I know what it takes to get to where I am today. So stop thinking about the what ifs, all these things that are making you not to want to be bold and try something new and go for it. Like, what if I become bankrupt? So what if you become bankrupt? Then you start again, you know? And for me, this was like, I can do so many things. And yeah, going for it.
But I understand, like, what you're saying. But there's also that fear of, I mean, you already have this comfort life, you know? You have your place where you live, you have your car, you have your bicycle, you have your you have your things. And then to imagine that you could go back to the discomfort of when you arrived in Finland, and that's a very big fear.
It is.
Just do it all
but
again.
Guess I mean, what? What if you don't and you don't go back there?
Yeah?
How far ahead can you go? If whatever it is that you want to do works out, then how far ahead can you be?
True. And also now, it's not maybe just you. You have your family. It's not just you. Because you can sleep out somewhere. I mean, you can go crash in someone's house. You get what I mean? Like, there's all those two fears. Where?
Well, I think I'm coming out of that cocoon. And I love it.
Yeah.
Like, not being reckless. I don't mean that people should be reckless and you know, put everything, put all your lovely house that you've made, you put it as a pawn for something. I don't mean that.
Okay, yeah. But
given that you have tried and it doesn't work out, like, it doesn't turn out how you wanted it to turn out, fair enough. You start again from zero and you try something else and you try again and again and again, you know.
True.
And I highly doubt it would ever get to a point where you go back to the one suitcase. Highly doubt, especially in Finland.
Something, when you talked about the influencers, I think something I'm also learning from such kind of people is the value that I bring. And that value should be, how can I say, paid for or should be
monetized,
appreciated back in money, monetized. Yeah, like, not doing everything for free just because that you're a good person, being good Samaritans out here, and ask you what, where, when. And I think also that takes some sort of boldness and just not knowing yourself. But
I will give an example, Remy.
What do you call it? Like, for example, just a basic, like, job, the work that we do. Or, I don't know, you want me to go for an extra shift?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you're not just going to go in at the, and then you're not getting any compensation for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I also think it's with small things also. Like, forget about work. Think of something like you have a talent. You know how to braid hair, right? And then a friend of yours comes and tells you, hey, can you braid my hair? Like, you should be bold enough to say that, hey, I can braid your hair, but it's going to cost you this much.
Yes.
You know?
There's
no shame in that. But most of the times, what do? When it's our friend, like, somebody will tell you, I have a party. Like, could you make me 200 samosas and I'll bring you the ingredients? Fair enough, you're bringing me the ingredients, but all the work that I'm putting to it, it deserves. Yeah, and there's no big money and small money. Like, we should be bold enough to say that, hey, this is going to cost you.
Yeah, true, true. And vice versa, if you want someone to do you a nini, not a favor, a job, service. Something.
To do a service, job for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Leo,
to do you.
To do me a job. To do you a service. You should also be ready to pay.
Exactly. And not feel like, because I feel like, and maybe it's very cultural also, like when it comes to friends, we want to separate money and friendships completely. And I agree, there's nothing wrong with separating money and friendship. I mean, the two should not mix. Mm. But I don't see anything wrong with friends doing things together to make money. Neither do I see anything wrong with friends talking about their own money. And I don't see anything wrong with a friend doing a service for you and you paying them. Like paying them their due. It's like you're supporting them. It's not like they owe you anything for free. You know, like...
They don't owe you anything for free. Pasababu, let's say, for example, you have a friend who takes photos and all that. And do you think that this person is going to be taking photos? You invite them to your birthday party, but they are not coming there to enjoy. They are coming there to take photos, and you are not paying them.
Imagine. You've invited them as a photographer.
Yes. And this person has invested in all the equipment that they have, but because they are your friend, you're thinking, no, there's no... See, we are friends. Friendship is going to, you know, that's enough. I don't think that's fair.
Or you give them peanuts, you know.
I don't think that's fair.
20 euros.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not.
And you know what they normally charge, 100.
Exactly. I don't think that's really fair. Yeah. And what you've just said, Jen, about friendships and money, I think it's very important when your friends respect, like, it goes both ways, like, you respect each other's money. You understand?
True.
I think it's very important because I feel like many friendships break also because of such small things. You know, CG, this one owes me, CG, how much money, CG, what happened? Like, you find people don't respect their friends, you know, money, which is so wrong.
Do you guys have a hard time, like, asking people for money they owe you?
Yes.
Especially friends.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And especially, it's a little money, not that you are talking of hundreds of euros. Yeah.
Speaking of money, I know I owe you money.
20, 15 euro, and 10 euro.
I know I owe you money. I'm about to, you don't remember.
You owe me money.
Thank you, Lord.
Monica, it's been recorded. Everyone has heard, you owe me money.
Yeah, and then that thing of...
First of all, I forget. Yeah. Like, now, like, with you, Monica, you're saying, I'll forget. And even if I remember... Maybe I'll not remind you now like this that we're just talking like, Monica, you owe me money. Maybe another time we go somewhere and we need to pay for something. Then I'll say, hey, Monica, so you remember even you owe me money? Yeah. Like, you know, now you pay for this plus.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't know, I have a hard time asking for money, and especially from friends, or like money that they owe me.
I can't.
But why is it so difficult? Because I have a hard time doing
I'm expecting
that.
You to remember. I'm expecting you to remember. You owe me money. You better remember, by the way. What's this? Amma, you're having selective...
But
whatever.
When they don't remember, how does it make you feel?
I get so pissed off.
Exactly. So you're harboring something against them. And
well, if
that is not what friendship is supposed to be like. I mean, forget about the little money. You've made an agreement that 10 euro, I'll give you 10 euro. Like, we go and buy this and this and this, and then you'll pay me back, right? So I don't give you the 10 euro. And it's constantly at the back of your mind, this person owes me 10 euro. I mean, this 10 euro has not made you any broke, okay?
Cool.
Yeah, you're a broker, you're 10 euro broker, but it's not affected your life in that way, like...
Yeah.
But still, you keep on harboring it at the back of your mind that this person owes me 10 euro, like... Why can't we just say, like...
Not really.
I know.
It depends with the amount of money.
First, I'll convince myself, certain euro to know. It's okay, even if they don't pay. But still, it's...
Really?
It's bothering me somehow. Because I'm thinking, we made a deal. You know.
So when it's bothering you, why can't you just say
if the person was to have... Yeah. Do you know the kind of people I hate? The ones who borrow you money. And they say they are going to pay. I will pay you on a certain day. And then they don't even pay, they'll pay you on a certain day. They just say, hey, I need this amount of money. I'm going to pay you back. You're like, okay, you're going to pay me back. You're sure? They're like, yeah, I'm going to pay you back when I get the money. These people, and then this someone never pays you that money. Now, those ones make me angry, even if it was 10 euros. Kwa sababu, I'm thinking, so you said you're going to pay me back. Mm. You didn't tell me when you're going to pay me back. Mm. But you said, you're borrowing me this money. I'm lending you this money and you're going to pay it back. So why are you not paying it back? That one, I don't understand it. But me, this is where now I become a Kenyan. I say, namuachia tu Mungu. Yes. Mungu atanilipishia, they'll come double.
And then now imagine, you come another situation, that person who owes you money, maybe you're doing something together, you know, and you're supposed to...
Can never be me.
It just continues becoming more and more awkward, yeah. And then now that's how the friendship breaks.
Or this same person who has not paid you back that money comes to borrow you money again. Are you not ashamed of yourself?
But then now the thing is... The question is... What can we do about it? Should we become more bold also in asking for what is our due? I mean, I don't, and that's the thing. This is the taboo that comes with money, because there's a lot of taboo when it comes to money. You know, we don't talk about it. We're embarrassed to say that we have money. We almost feel like, you know, somebody will ask you, how much do you buy this shoe for? And you almost cringe. You don't want to say the price. Like it's almost like this price is going to tell them how much money you have in your pocket. Like,
either it's too much, and then you are overspending, and it's too little, you're too cheap. It's never
like,
good.
What is this taboo that comes with money? Why can't we just be real with it? Like, you owe me money. You owe me 2 euro. Give me your 2 euro. My 2 euro, it's mine.
And be bold enough to ask for all amounts. Yeah. Like, there's no petty money.
Yeah.
Money is money.
And especially if it's bothering you. Mm. You know, there are certain people in my life that I decided, whether you're telling me you're going to pay me or not, there are certain people, and I won't mention which people, I put it in my head that if I give this person 20 euro or 50 euro or 100, I'm giving it because I am giving. Like, I have given.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten about,
you're not expecting
it back. I'm not expecting it back, right? And I have given, I am giving them money. I'm not loaning them money. It's just me giving them this money. And I've moved on with that. And because I'm right with that, then I can choose when and if to give them.
Yes. Someone told me that, you know, the way people borrow you money, and then especially people back home, and they're like, I'm going to repay your money. So someone told me, if someone asks you for 100 euros, tell them you have 50. Tell them you have 50, because you know deep down in your heart, they're not going to pay you. So be ready to give them the amount of money that, you know, it won't pay
much
when you don't return. So if someone says, Monique, please... At 200 euros, I'll be like, where I have 70 euros, are you willing to take it? Take it or leave it. It's up to you. And I do, as you have said, Jade, I'll give them that money. And at the back of my mind, I'll be like, you know what? You've not borrowed this money. I've given it to you.
Jane, when you said about, like, someone asks you about how much you bought something, a shoe, do you think we should also be more open in talking about, like, income, like real figures, you know, with your friends and with your, I don't know, family? Yes.
With family, I don't think so.
Well, family can be your spouse.
Well, your spouse
doesn't need to be your mother.
Yes, I think if you're living in the same household, then I think it's very important. But I think for parents,
but I mean, like,
and
among
siblings,
friends, yeah, how much
so.
Do you earn? You know, what are they paying you, or what does this company pay? That's what I mean.
I think to some extent, how can I say? Yeah, if it's something specific, like how much money is this company paying you? Like, how much are you getting in salary? Yeah, I could say I'm getting, 3,000 euro? And there's nothing wrong with that. But then now, when it comes to the point of, you almost know every single figure that I have.
No, not in that detail. No.
Then I become a bit cringy about that because I don't even see the reason why I should be telling my spouse how much I get to the tea. It's none of his business.
So you are Jane, you're not sharing your account.
Hell
with your
to the
partner.
F no guy, no.
Oh, and letting them have control over it.
Over the account.
If I have control over all the accounts, then it's
what
fine.
What kind of wives are you?
Auntie, what kind of wives are we? We are not even wives. Let's start there.
Wives materials are you?
We can't be even.
Like I
but
said.
Jane.
Tell my money.
It's okay, go on. No, I just wanted to say, I understand what you're saying, and I'm with you. Well, not 100%. I'll tell you, like, yeah, okay, I earn this amount of money, and there's nothing wrong. I can even show you my pay slips, but I can, okay, first let me say this. In the beginning, I can tell you how much I earn, but if you start everything that I do, you're like, oh, and the way you earn so much money, you earn this amount of money, why can't you do this? That's going to be the end of me showing you or telling you what I am earning, especially this is with family and, you know, family, partner, and all those other people. If you start, you know, like it's, you're constantly bringing it up or you're constantly expecting me to do certain things because I earn this amount of money, then I know that's just, no.
And I think it also depends on the context as to which we are discussing this money.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, say for example, we all are from the same sector, right? And then I get a new job and I'm saying, yeah, they're paying much more than what I was getting before, right? So you'll ask me like, so how much is it that you're getting now? In that way, I don't see if there's anything wrong with saying, I could even say that I'm getting 200 euros more or I'm getting 1 euro more, you know? So it's up to you to figure this out, right?
Yeah.
Or how much is the basic, the starting salary in this place you get? Because like I said, even with my own spouse, I don't see the reason why I should be telling them that I earn and 56 cents. Why? I don't even want to know all the cents that he's earning, you know?
Yeah.
All I need to know is that, hey, I earn about this much money. So that you don't start planning for my money in your life.
Yes.
It's not ours. It is mine.
Yeah. And especially, I think...
I totally agree, Jean. I totally agree.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking, in some relationships, you can also see that... I don't know. I think telling someone exactly how much money you make, it's a recipe for a disaster. And I think especially for men. Because think, you're married to a man. I'm on your side. Imagine you're married. Do you have a family with this person? With a woman. Like, honestly, women can be so bad and so mean. And then you separate.
Speak for yourself.
No, I'm just saying, like, the truth as it comes. Not everyone is a good person. And then people separate. And then now you're going for child. You want child support. And then, you know, this person earns this amount of money. And you are there just demanding for their money. I'm thinking it's your children and they should be able to, I don't know, you should not go for your target should not be their money just because you know how much money they make. Because I'm thinking if you're with a person who is not earning so much money, will you still be fighting them that much?
But you see, at this point, this is now other fact. It's just bitterness or whatever issues that they have, say in this case of separating or divorcing and you need child support. It's just your bitterness, and that's you just want to hurt them or get them to whatever.
But that's what I'm saying. It was someone who was not earning so much money. Do you think even with all that bitterness, they will still be going for their last cent?
No, because then they're not getting in so much out of it.
Exactly. So don't go telling people exactly how much money you're making. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. I'm wondering, what do you guys think about having joint accounts with your spouse? And I don't mean like, so all your money you put in there, but you have like one joint account, like where you decide like, yeah, we are going to be contributing this much. So each person brings X amount of money and puts in that joint account. What's your opinion about that?
You mean like you have your own separate personal account?
Even 20 if you want.
Where your salary goes to?
Yes.
And then, but you have one common account where, say, you save together. Yeah, for me, that's okay.
Yeah, for me also,
that's something
okay.
I do with my husband. Yeah.
For me also, that's okay.
Jean.
She's still loading.
Yeah, just like we are ghosts. Like, what world are we
living
in?
Yeah, it's okay. But this is not your main, like, you have your own account where your salary comes in and you're doing your own things with your money.
You have
and
even
then
20
now you
accounts.
Have this one. Yes. Yes, that's fine with me. I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
Jane, what's
She's
your
loading.
Opinion?
You tell me what I need to pay. I tell you what you need to pay. You pay. Let's leave money alone. Like, and if
there's no our
no,
money,
no. We don't have anything for a guy. And if we have a joint account, then it's not ours. It's for the kids.
Okay.
Like we're saving for the kid, like
so everyone saves their own ways and
and you decide like I'm going to be paying insurance, you pay for this, I pay for that, you pay for this, and if you don't pay, shauriako. Or then
what about having
an account? But that idea of having our account is not working for me.
That's a problem. Just the need that the account is shared.
Yeah, why can't I put money then in his account and then he pays? Or he puts money in my account. We can interchange every month, like, if we need to do something that is ours.
It's so much work, Jane, and it gets so... it's annoying.
Because you could have a joint account, so you know the expenses you have per month. They're those standing expenses that never change, you know. Is it rent or loan or electricity, water, you know, food, you know an estimate. So you put X amount, each of you, and then now all expenses go from this account, you get.
It's easier that way, I think.
But Jane is not buying into the joint account.
Jane, you still
what's
have your
accounts. What's your fear, Jane? Now, like, what makes you cringe when you think of the joint account?
Like, I'll be putting money there. Then you see the way I have put on the 22nd. And then this has been paid there. Why can't we just live our own lives? You pay the house. You're a grown-ass man. I pay for this and this and this. And we live our lives like that. Everybody is dealing with their own shit. But there's nothing wrong with having joint account. Go for it. Good for you. Like,
no,
there's also
nothing
wrong with not
having
a joint account.
Yeah,
also.
It's what works for you. Yeah. And I think it also depends a lot on what kind of a partner you have. You know, if they are really reckless with money,
of
you can't trust them.
Yeah.
Hey, you do not want to have anything joint.
Yeah.
You're going to find your savings have been
need.
Zimekuliwa. They've been eaten.
What do you guys think about prenuptial agreements?
Prenuptial agreements?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they're so far from me. I feel like they're for those
rich people,
wealthy who are floating
you,
in
you're
money.
You're not seeing yourself being wealthy anytime soon, Remy.
See, now then we shall make that nini at
late.
This moment. There's nothing to
I don't know. Hey, I think maybe, you know, it could be now me who ends up being the wealthy and rich one. So maybe we can be...
Because I think people should have prenups. I mean, and it doesn't mean like at how much money you have when you meet. Like, it's not about that. It's about moving forward. You know, it's about having those crazy, dirty divorces and fighting for unnecessary things. You know, like get a prenup, sign it, and live your lives the way you're going to live them. Because just imagine you met when you both had nothing, then you start a business and it just boof grows into something else, and then you divorce and this dude gets half of that. Like,
I know,
totally unfair. You know,
and maybe this going person to be, even used to criticize you
exactly
every step that you took. They used to criticize you. They never supported you. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Question: can you make a prenup in between?
Oh, husband.
Am I too late?
Yeah, because...
Well, are you seeing this podcast and then Yanze Kuomoka and then...
You've already seen how you're moving.
Can you see your third now becoming... Divide third by two. How much are you earning? Nothing.
Hey, my third from the podcast.
Yeah,
I divide it by two. See, we can make a prenup in between.
What I know you can do in, okay, if you're a sole proprietor, then I guess it becomes difficult. But then if you have a company limited or a limited company, because you make an agreement, you can choose to put them out of that business completely. So in the event that
one
partner dies, so like the three of us, right? We can make an agreement in such that your spouses are not involved, your spouses and your children are not involved in any way, right? In the event that one of you dies, one of us dies, not you.
Back to the center.
Equation.
You know? In the event that one of us dies, like the spouse or the children cannot now decide that we are part of this. So we'll just...
So it's the other two who...
Yeah, so now you'll have made your own will as to what happens when you die. Then we will buy them out, you know. We will sell or we will give them the amount, the share that you had, to the next of kin, whoever the next of kin is. Right? But they cannot make any decisions pertaining the company. That much you can do. Now you know about the podcast. What you need to do. Keep him out.
What we need to do.
Okay.
What about parents? Do you think your parents should know exactly how much money you earn?
No.
Hell no. Especially not African parents. Where? Recipe for disaster.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Not only how much you earn, even anything you bought, you just say it was not expensive or it was expensive. Full stop.
I remember when I came here, I was a young girl. I mean, I got my first job, and I remember being asked, how much money are you earning? And I mean, it was just a cleaning job, was it? Yeah, it was a cleaning job. Like, you're not earning much, right? And I'm telling you, the parent will be making plans for this money. It's like you're living in their house. You know, like these are family account. You know, like you should be left with this much. And you can imagine you're living in two different continents. And I'm telling you, I learned the hard way about keeping my finances to myself. Like nothing, not even my shoe costed me this much. No. No, like... I don't think that's something that you should.
I think that's very cultural also, because with what I've seen, like with parents here, it's not a big deal. You know, they talk openly with their children about the money, how much the car costed and how much they're earning and how much raise they got. And, you know, and they're not, and the children are not made to feel like, okay, now you need to do this for me, or you know, you need to, you know.
It's very cultural.
I think that's understandable, because comparing to here and back home, you know, some of our parents are not well off, you know. So, I mean, it's understandable, but yeah.
But you see, okay. The thing
you
is,
you help where you can, but when it comes to now your parents or our parents making, you know, already planning for your money, then that's not okay.
Mm-mm.
And but you I see, agree, don't give them the exact amount. Yes?
Yeah. You see, Moni, the thing is, our culture is all about parents have children so that the children can help them in the future.
It's an investment.
Here, by the way, it's vice versa. Like, the children depend on their parents until they die. Like, you're not ashamed to go to your parent as an adult and tell your parent that, I want for Christmas a radio. And you're actually very serious about it. Like, and this parent will buy you this radio for Christmas. Back at home in Kenya, it's always vice versa. It's the parent who'll come and tell you that I want a radio for Christmas. As a grown-ass woman or man working, you can never go to your parent and tell them that I want this and this. It's always expected of them or of you to give them, not them to give you.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of the parents who don't have a source of income, you know. Like, imagine a parent who has struggled bringing you up. You understand? In that way, then you can't, because here, I mean, the majority of the people here work, we can say 99% of the people here work or they rely on whatever services that, you know, they're earning this amount of money. But back home, we all know it is not that way. And most parents struggle to bring their children up. You know,
I understand, Monica, what you mean.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to the money, and I'm not saying ati sasa juu a parent has struggled to bring their child up, so now when their child comes here and they're earning enough money, now the parents have the right to plan for your money. No, absolutely not. It is not wrong with, I don't know, the children helping their parents out.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but I think it's the expectation or that ideology of I worked hard to bring you up. I mean, I didn't ask to be brought into this world. And that's what I keep on saying. I feel like we do not get unconditional love. We get love with conditions. You know, I am struggling to give you a good education so that you can pay me back. And for me, when it comes to that thing of I owe my parents this and this and this, I owe them, definitely, I owe them a lot. They worked hard for me and I am forever grateful for that. But if I have to pay them back, for me, it doesn't just sit right with me. There shouldn't be what any parents, expectation.
What parent would even say, ati, now you're paying me back, I struggled so much raising you up, so now you owe me something. What?
No. Parents say that? No. Parents don't say that, but it's that ideology of your parents work so hard, so it is expected of you to help them back. It's not expected of you. I mean, I work hard every day for my child, and I mean, I have sleepless nights. I want him to have a good life, but I want him to have a good life for him. You know, I don't want him for to himself. Have for himself. Exactly. I don't want him to have a good life because I will benefit from that in any way. My only benefit will be to sit down and know that my child is not struggling. That should be my one and only benefit, you know. And like I said, I don't know. I would do anything, absolutely anything for my parents. Like, if I can and when I can and with all my heart, you know. But it should not be. I feel like so many people are struggling because it's expected of them to work three times as hard. It's almost like you're paying back. And I think that's such a bad.
It's a bad thing. It's like a guilt trip to it.
Exactly.
You know, and as you said, Jane, it's something I came to learn. Like, I didn't ask to be brought into this world. I didn't ask for you to work hard. You did it because you wanted to. And as you say, the payback should be you seeing me having a good life, not me giving you things or paying for you. If I want to,
well and good.
I can. And up to how much I want. but it shouldn't be expected.
You know, I wouldn't want a situation as in where, and I mean, God forbid that hasn't happened, but in my old age, I am struggling with this and this, and then I'm thinking, where is my son to help me because I struggled with this? And I mean, it should be almost like for him something that comes from his heart that I need to take care of my mom. Yeah. And that is if he wants to, you know. And I mean, the reason why I'm also working hard is for him to have a good life and for me to have a good future also, where I don't need to burden anybody, be a burden to anyone.
Or if you want help from your child, then you ask like the way you would ask a friend, not in an expecting way, like guilt tripping them. I did this for you. You know all the schools I took.
I carried you for 9 months. Ni nani alikuambia?
I know.
I carried you. Me, I wasn't with you.
The way I changed your nappies, the way I washed them.
See, you should have stayed then. Like, really, I think that guilt tripping is so bad. Like,
it's bad.
No,
it's
but really I have a question. Like, there are some parents who do that.
Have you even watched those comedies? Like these comedies they make every day, these Kenyan ones. You'll see the parents saying the same thing. Like, yeah, and the way I took you to the best school, I did this and this and this for you. I did. Like, surely.
So literally, what they are saying, they were making an investment. And now, you know, like now you go and buy land. And then you build, and then now you sit, and then you have passive income.
So you are the passive income.
This is now the This is, we are the passive income. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When they back, the money should just pop. Like,
you know. Yeah. I have a friend of mine who actually told the dad, like she had just had it to the finishing point. And she told the dad, you know what? Just write me a bill. And after that, we are done. Tell me how much money you put into my life. I will pay you back that money and we are done. After that, like, we are completely done. And then we will also minus the things that I have done for you up until this point. And then we are done. You know, it's so toxic. Like, oh my God. And then we digressed.
Completely. Yes.
But then it's called, you know, it's called black tax.
Yes.
Black have tax. You heard of that thing?
And that's a very heavy conversation that I think we will be having in the next 5 years. But anyway.
About the black tax?
It will be something we'll be unlearning.
Yeah, and it's very, I think it's also very narcissistic in nature. Like, you know, this, this demands, and sometimes they don't even just come from the parents, even the extended family. And the way I carried you, like, I mean, something as small as
I changed your nappy.
I mean, something as small as
you used to cry.
Your own wedding, like you're expected to invite everybody in that village, and God forbid that you had an harambee to go to America. You will have to discover that America, we made you. And you will be paying us back for the rest of your life.
You wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for us.
Like, it's so disturbing. Bad. Like, guy, no.
Now I am sad. One of my cousins was getting married. And for the traditional wedding, she didn't invite these certain relatives. And then now when they were invited for the white wedding, imagine that they refused to come and they said that you did not invite us for the traditional wedding. We were not there for the negotiations. I was like, really? Wow. Yani, people are so entitled out here. These are your entitlements. It's just God who's making me not get married, because very many hearts will break. People will be disappointed. We are thinking, hiya.
Entitlement. Okay, girls, parting shot. What would you tell your young self about money? No. What would you teach your child about money between the ages of 5 and 10.
Hi.
Maybe I don't know. People with children, tell me.
I am there and I don't know what I'm teaching. Spend wisely.
And save.
Oh, yeah, like you don't have to spend. Yeah, money is not just for spending. You can also think how. Yeah, like you can, yeah, how to balance the saving, the spending, and also start thinking of how to make the money.
And also, I think how to spend the money, critical thinking when it comes to money. You understand? Like when you enter a shop, or let's say you want to buy, you saw a Spider-Man shirt. Let's say this is for a boy who's, I don't know, that age. And you're looking for a shirt. And, you know, you don't just buy a shirt from the first shop that you enter. You can, you know, go for the rounds and see maybe if you find a cheaper shirt somewhere else. That you also like. Maybe, I don't know, critical thinking when it comes to money. Such
true.
Thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And also thinking if you really want to buy that thing or you need
exactly.
That thing.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
I've taught my child there's money to spend, to save, and to give.
Mm.
The giving part is not happening this lifetime. The spending part is also not happening.
Hey, we are just keeping.
We are just saving. We are just saving for a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Whoa. Hey.
There's nothing.
We'll be saving for some while.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean.
With his 2 euros allowance per month.
Where? And collecting bottles.
That's what he said before the motorcycle.
Yeah. And collecting bottles.
You did a month. It was a week.
Oh. A week. 2 euro a week. Hey. And collecting bottles and shoveling snow. And there's a lot of things you can do. You know, to get little money. But for a motorcycle, according to him, well, that was not my idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's money to spend, to give, and to save. Right? Then, like what Remy said, there are things that you want and there are things that you need. That is biting me back. I taught something and now, the other day I was told in the shop, I saw a nice shirt and I'm thinking, oh, I should buy this. And then he tells me, I'll say it like he said it. Mama, wewe apana itaji, wewe idataka tu. Like, Mama... You don't need this. You just want it.
You just want it.
And I was like, oh, God, I have created a monster.
You have.
I've created a monster.
You should have told him, but Mama needs it. My other shirts are...
They're what?
Torn.
Where?
They're old. Uh-huh. They're outdated.
Well, out of anyway. Style. And the point is, I'm teaching my son the value of money and how to make that money. And he does little things to make money. And I think, for me, I wish I was taught the same. If I knew what I know now about money, guy, 20 years ago, I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I would be listening to the podcast and thinking, wait, what amateurs?
If I knew what I knew, guy, when I was even 6.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so... Let's spend our money.
I had a question before I forget. Have you guys heard of this? I don't know. I read somewhere in the news the way CG there's what do you call this? Like an alert that there might be some cyber hacking or something. Was it in the banks or somewhere connected to the Russia Ukraine crisis?
Yeah.
And now people are crazily withdrawing money. And me, I'm thinking, guy, should I? Am I living in a bubble? What's happening?
It's true. Did I tell you about that my workmate whose accounts were emptied?
Yeah.
I think that's how it's happening. And I'm telling you, in a span of less than 5 minutes, everything was emptied. Like, everything. Yeah. Hiya. Do you know, I used
But to, you said she got a call or something. There was some
There was no call.
Message.
She was browsing on CJ Facebook, ama ni wapi huko she was browsing, and then she saw something with an advertisement of her bank. And I don't know, it was something, I can't quite remember. So she clicked on it, and I think she was purchasing something. Then she entered her codes, and it was just loading. So she cancelled. So she said, maybe there's no network, let her try again. She tried the second time, and it was just loading. So she cancelled. And for some reason, she's like, let me just enter into my bank account to see whether they've...
To see.
Yeah, they've already cuttered some money. Where? Not only had they cuttered some money, they had cuttered all the monies.
All the money.
All the money, yeah. Yep.
Jen, you already have money in the house.
Yep.
Ready.
Wait, I'm not telling thieves. But anyway, I was just thinking this is money that you should be having already. You should have been having a long time ago. I mean, not saying that the accounts are empty, and also in this day and age, who keeps money in one account? Unless they say
you're doing
everything.
It the old school way.
You know, I don't have 20 accounts.
But
they're very expensive. If you have,
does it help if you have the money in different accounts but in the
same
bank?
No, different
it
banks.
It has to be different banks.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
In different banks.
Yeah. And also, money in mattress account is very important.
Money what?
Mattress account. It's very important. Every woman should have, first of all, a RAM account. If you don't have one, you better get one.
What
it's called
is a RAM account?
Runaway money account. If you don't have one, you better get one.
Mm-hmm.
I ran away money. You're running from who or what?
Anything. Cyber attacks, men,
yeah,
women, children. You could be running from anything.
That's true.
From yourself.
From yourself. Your shadow.
Could be.
Guys, now, ever we live my life alone, me, I'm weird like that. But I'm not afraid of a cyber attack. I can take that 200
At least I know where to go to.
You're not afraid of a cyber attack.
I know where to go to. Thanks, Jane. But anyway,
we're all running to your place.
Yes, up to the parting shot. Me, my parting shot is there's no shame in being a person who loves money.
Yeah.
Yes, not at all. Not in this day and age, imagine. No, and if you find someone who tells you that you're too much because you love money, leave that person alone, please. They're not even right for you. Yes, it's that. It's plain and simple. Yeah.
And let's talk about money. Let's buy each other up, you know, like let's sharpen each other when it comes to money matters. Let's not just.
Me, I'm thinking if I was a man and I find a woman who loves money, me, I think I would be so attracted to her. I'm thinking this thing about we men sitting down and saying, oh, this woman loves money so much. Like, what's that all about? You guys need to check yourselves. That's my parting shot.
I would say we end the taboo around talking about money, as Jane said, you know?
Yeah.
And even that thing of asking for your money, ask for it.
Listen,
it's yours. Whether it's 1 euro, whether it's 100.
Let's come back in a few.
Monica, I want my money.
Which one?
That I don't
Monica,
even know.
Ask her how much is it?
That's why. Which money? What money?
Wait, I'll think. I'll find it.
Yeah. Sawa basi.
Sawa.
All right, guys.
But thank you guys for listening to the end of this episode. And remember, connect with us on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes, ma'am.
Comment. Send us a DM.
An email, and remember to sponsor us.
And email, yes. And we're looking for sponsors, like on a serious note.
Sponsor!
Yes. Hey, where that uni?
Hey, Jane.
We have seen your ninis.
Epiglottis.
Okay, Jen is yawning. We need to go and sleep.
All right, guys. Have a lovely
week. Okay, see you guys next week. Melanin do chini akuna bleaching. Black is beautiful, you're not teaching. Girls are thinking. Ima king true na ma queen. Squad your devaka DJ.